You are listening to Nebraska on Tap. This podcast will tap you into the Natural Resources District, managing Nebraska's water since 1972. Whether you are a farmer, rancher, or citizen of Nebraska, this podcast was made for you. Time to tap into this week's episode. This podcast is hosted by Heather Dismang and brought to you by the Middle Republican Natural Resources District.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of Nebraska on Tap. This week, we're sitting down with Tim Nicholson, the fire chief for Curtis Rural Fire Protection. Tim has been a dedicated firefighter for over 36 years, serving the rural community of Curtis and surrounding areas. As fire chief for the last 5 years, he leads a team of volunteers who are committed to protecting their neighbors and property. So join us as we chat with Tim about the challenges and rewards of firefighting in a rural community, the importance of volunteerism, and the impact of climate change on wildfires in Nebraska. So stay tuned. That interview with Tim is coming right up.
Tim Nicholson, I'm the fire chief for Curtis Rural Fire Protection District. I've been a firefighter for 36 years, chief for 5 years. My 8-to-5 paying job is with Consolidated Telephone, do the internet side of things for them. As far as firefighting and all of that with other fire departments right now, if the page tones go off, we have instant response with Maywood Wellfleet. We work with them. Farnham, we have instant response with them right now, just because everything's so dry.
Right. So how do you guys work with the NOAA when it comes to these fire weather watches and these red flag warnings that we start to see around this time of year?
Well, basically, first thing in the morning is being fire chief. With my cup of coffee, you go to the fire weather webpage and see what the relative humidity is going to be, what the Haynes Index is, which Haynes Index was developed in 1988, I believe. It's takes in all the weather conditions, atmospheric conditions, and the relative humidity as to how erratic grassland fires will react with those weather conditions. It's a scale from 1 to 6, and 6 being the highest. So pretty much it just tells you if you're going to have a bad day or not, mm-hmm. if something would break out. So,
and then when you guys get called out onto these fires and the fire zones and work together, how do you guys all communicate that way? I know your main job is communication, but how do you bring that onto the field when you guys are out there doing that?
As far as if it's going to be a big incident, you know, we can call the North Platte, NOAA, you know, the weather service, mm-hmm. and get a spot report, which helps us out. 9 times out of 10, we don't do that. But if we know it's going to be a big, long, drawn-out process, and depending on the time of the day, because usually in a normal year, you could rely on the relative humidity helping you out during the night, where you would be able to contain the fire better. But now in recent years, it's been so dry, you don't get that humidity conversion at night that helps you out. So you have the same conditions during the night hours as you do during the day at times, just because of the way the weather's been.
Right. So, and then you have those growing periods like spring when we got a lot of rain, right? And then it creates a whole bunch of fuel for you guys.
Yep, exactly. And then in the spring, I don't know if we want to shift gears to this.
Oh, yeah, that's fine. Go ahead.
The prescribed burn groups. Mm-hmm. We have a real good group, the LCRA. I'm an advocate of them. So taking care of all the acres north of Curtis that we don't have to worry about if they burn them off and get all them cedar trees out of there during a thunderstorm during the summer, those are acres we don't have to worry about because they've been burnt off. Those guys follow the requirements of all the burn plans, which they submit the burn plans to the fire chief of the district. And then we have to review that. And in there, there is the weather conditions that they have to meet in order to even do the burn. If any one of them, whether wind speed, relative humidity changes, the burn's off. So they follow a lot of the weather conditions too.
Yeah, so. And if somebody wanted to get a burn permit outside of these red flag warnings, how would they go about doing that with you?
They could call me directly or get a hold of the sheriff's office, and then they get a hold of me and I contact the person and we have them tell us where what they're going to burn, where, and usually they send us a picture or we go do a site visit to make sure there's nothing in there they can't burn, and then we issue the permit based on whether the weather is acceptable or not and whether they have the resources to have water on site to take care of it. So
understood. And now if somebody wants to be a volunteer firefighter, what are some of the steps that they have to take to be able to become one or get accepted?
Basically, Curtis, we have a 25-person roster. We currently have 22 that are on the roster. So we have three open positions. If anyone wants to pick up an application from any of the fire department members, they fill out the application that is presented at one of our meetings. We vote on the member. If they're accepted, we go through a kind of an orientation with them, get them set up with personal protective gear, and then our bylaws say that they got to go to fire school within the first 2 years to take introduction to firefighting, and that's pretty much it.
Is there a age restriction?
Oh, yeah, 21.
21 to be able to apply?
Yep, and that's more to do with our insurer than anything else. So.
Perfect. And where is the fire academy located at?
Fire school. Is Grand Island, Fauner Park. I believe it's the third weekend of May every year.
Okay, perfect. And anything else you kind of want to add when it comes to like firefighting or anything that you think anybody needs to be made aware of that we didn't kind of touch on? And just
one thing is the outlying rural areas, and even in town, if you have tree breaks and stuff, there is a cost share program through the Forest Service that they will help you maintain your windbreaks by doing that preventative maintenance. If something does break out, that helps us out a lot. If anyone has any information, they can contact me or the sheriff's office, and they can get a hold of one of us to answer any questions about that.
All right, perfect. Well, thank you so much for your time today, Tim.
Okay.
All right, Tim, thank you once again for your time that you gave us, for your conversation about what you do as a fire chief for the Curtis Rural Fire Protection. I know we learned a lot about the challenges and rewards of firefighting in the rural Nebraska area, but before I go, I want to emphasize the importance of supporting your local volunteer fire departments. These dedicated individuals put their lives on the line to protect our communities, so consider making a donation or volunteering your time to help them continue their work. So thank you again for listening to Nebraska on Tap. You can find us at www.nebraskaontap.com, the way you found us today, and hopefully the way you'll find us next week. So thank you so much for tuning in. So join us next week for more interesting and informative discussions. Until then, stay safe and stay informed. Have a good one. Bye-bye.